Carolina, and this recording is from one of our church services. For more information, visit our website at churchofphiladelphia.com. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoy the message.
And so we're going to go ahead and jump into the Word of God. We're going to go over to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 10, and we're going to start at verse number 35. When you have it, say amen. And the new sermon series that we're moving in today, it is called Upside Down Living with the Kingdom Perspective. Amen. Upside Down Living with the Kingdom Perspective. And the foundational scripture, I should say, you know, so whole Hebrews chapter number 10, right, verses 35 through 39. But our foundational scripture for the actual sermon series is going to be over in the book of Matthew chapter number 10. Matthew chapter number 10, which simply talks about thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. So that's our foundational scripture for this particular sermon series, as we're talking about upside down living with the kingdom perspective. Amen. And so as we talk about this perspective, we want to make sure that while we're down here in the earth realm, that we're living according to the ways of God's kingdom. We begin to see, we interpret things according to God's kingdom. Amen. So even how we visualize, interpret things, see things, you know, as we hear things, and considering where we are in these, you've been hearing a lot of people talking about we're in uncharted waters and all these different things, or unprecedented times where we are right now. Considering where we are, the things that we see and hear, whether it be through social media or whether it be through on the news broadcast channels or whatever the case may be, we still have to look at things through the lens of God. And we still have to live as believers living here. Though we're in the earth realm, we still have to bring the kingdom of God here in the earth realm and live according to the kingdom. It is the kingdom's perspective that we are living by. Amen. So this morning, as we go over to Hebrews chapter number 10, we're going to start at verse number 35. And if you have your Bibles, you can read aloud, read it amongst yourselves with me. So we're going to go to Hebrews chapter number 10, verse number 35. It says, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which have gathered recompense, have great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we, come on, tell somebody, but we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Amen. And that is the reading of God's word. And so the title that I'm going to be working with on this morning is, it is now time. It is now time, with a subtitle being the courageous and the cowards. Amen. So we're talking about it is now time with a subtopic, the courageous and the cowards. Amen. So I pray that you will find where you are as we're talking about this. And so as we get into this particular passage of scripture, we're in the book of Hebrews. And now we understand many theologians debate whether or not the Apostle Paul actually wrote this particular epistle. Right. But regardless of who wrote it, we know this. It was inspired by the Holy Ghost, but penned by an individual. So right now, I'm going to give all the credit to the Holy Spirit. Amen. Since we don't understand who, or we don't know who the actual author is. So thank you, Holy Ghost, for allowing an individual to pen what was inspired and breathed by you. Amen. So as we understand this, the writer of the Holy Spirit is actually writing to Jewish believers or Jewish converts who have just converted to Christianity, where they've left their ways of Judaism and they have now become Christian believers, you know. And so one thing that these new converts are actually struggling with, they're struggling with their identity. Although they have just converted to new believers as new Christians, they're struggling with whether or not we should go back to the ways of Judaism, or whether or not we should actually Judaize this thing right here. You know, well, we're sticking to the strict laws of Judaism. And so we've all been there where we've struggled at different times in life. You know, when it comes to a point where you have to make a decision, and the pressure of the decision will cause us to struggle with the decision. Some days it's because of the pressure or because of how difficult we believe the decision is. Some of us, out of fear, we just don't make a decision. Well, we got to understand, in the process of not even making a decision, I want you to understand that you actually made a decision. Not to make a decision is to make a decision. But I'm so glad that these Jewish converts, you know, they were able to have this particular epistle laid out before them, helping them to understand. You know, even as we move down through the passage of scriptures, you know, it's talking about how they're supposed to live their lives out, you know, as believers in this particular chapter, chapter 10, how they're supposed to live their lives out and faithfully following Jesus Christ with all perseverance. Not only that, how they're supposed to have confidence to enter into the sanctuary. And when you think about the sanctuary, because Christ has now died on the cross and the veil has been torn, it's talking about how they have the confidence to enter into the presence of God for themselves, to get to know God on a more intimate level. It also talks about how they have this warning for this continual sin, because it already talks about if we continue to sin knowingly, there remains no more sacrifice for the sin. And then it talks about persevering in faith, right? In faith under, persevering in faith under the pressure, the different trials and the sufferings that one may be engaged in or one may have to experience as a believer. So no, as a believer, it doesn't mean that life is going to be full of roses and tulips. No, there are going to be some tests, there are going to be some trials, and there are going to be some moments in life that we indeed have to, where we're going to be afflicted with suffering. But one thing about it, the author of this particular epistle begins to reveal who Christ is, as he is the mediator and the revealer of who God the Father is. Through what he has done on the cross, he now gives us access to come to the Father because the veil has been torn. That is, his flesh has been torn. So now we have access where we can now come boldly before the throne of grace, or before the throne of God, and receive and obtain that mercy of God. Amen. So as we're talking about this morning, we are talking about it is now time, or subtopic, the courageous and the cowards. And so as we move down into verse number 35, it begins to talk about, it says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which have great recompense of reward. And what the writer is saying, he's saying, don't throw away your confidence. Because to cast in the Greek means to throw away. To utterly throw away something with all of your might, to throw away something. So he's saying, cast not away therefore your confidence, right? And when you understand confidence in the Greek, it's talking about, don't throw away your freedom of speaking. Don't throw away your freedom of speaking. And where we are, like they said, we're in uncharted waters or unprecedented times, and you now find many believers who are shying away. They're losing their faith in God because they're so worried God has not been the source. They have made God to be a resource. And so now, because their trust wasn't completely in God, you find a lot of believers who are pulling away back from God, where they're putting their trust in the dollar and refuse to put their trust in God, or fear or anxiety has gripped them, and it is caused them not to be able to stand on the word of God and trust God for what God has said, or trust God for who he is. But the writer is saying for us not to throw away our confidence. Don't you throw away your free speech. And that's one thing that we had to understand as believers, as the church. One thing that the church has now been subject to, we've been subject to an attack where they're coming after our religious liberties. And one of those things is our ability to speak freely what we believe God is speaking to us. You know, a couple of years back, we experienced a wave where they were threatening when, before President Trump came in and they were running with Hillary Clinton and all these different ones that were running against him, and how we understood that, you know, if Hillary Clinton got in, how it was going to come a major attack. She was coming for the church. How she was saying things have to change. How the religious liberties that we have, they must change. She felt she was mandated to change these things. And one of the things that we're going to be seriously attacked was our liberty of free speech, I should say, to speak what we believe that God is speaking to us or giving to us inside the church. I can recall even in Texas how they were saying how different pastors, it was demanded that these pastors should give their sermons, type it out and give it to the elected officials before they go and speak what it is that they believe God gave them. This is the type of attack that we're talking about. But he's saying, okay, in these times of struggle, where you struggled before, and understand that there are going to be times that are going to come in the near future where you're going to actually struggle again. But he's saying, don't you give up your confidence. Don't cast away your confidence, which is your free speech. But not only that, when you talk about your confidence, in the Greek it's talking about freedom in speaking, but it is also talking about free and fearless confidence, having free and fearless confidence. And I want to ask you a question. When was the last time you felt free to be confident in what God said? When was the last time you felt free to be confident in who God said he was in your life? Because of the many different things that we deal with and struggle with on a day-to-day basis, what I understand, it is attacking our faith. It is attacking our ability to stand and stand on the word of God and trust God for who God is. But even in the midst of this, I know God to be God. The psalmist said, be still and know that he is God. Be still and see the salvation of God. And that's where many of us are right now, where you're having to stand still and just trust God. You don't have no other option. Who am I talking to this morning? You don't have any other option. God is your only choice. But it's a good choice. It's a good choice. It's a good choice. I'm here to encourage you. Don't you throw away your free speech. And don't you throw away your fearless confidence in God. But not only that, in the Greek, one of the definitions for confidence is also boldness, but it also speaks about an assurance. So you should have an assurance. Don't you throw away your boldness, and neither should you throw away your assurance in God. One thing that we know about God, he's a God that changeth not. Times change, seasons change, people change, you understand? And guess what? Problems in your life may change. And guess what? Your age is going to change, and your weight is going to change, and how you look is going to change. But one thing about God, what we know about God, God changeth not. I'm so glad that he's a God that doesn't change. I'm so glad that he's a God that's dependable. I'm so glad that he's a God that's reliable. Simple enough to say he is faithful. Yeah. When we say he's faithful, what we're saying is that he changeth not. Amen. And so I bless the name of the Most High God that he is a faithful and true God. While other folks are flaky at times, God still remains the same. God is going to be true. And what I appreciate about God, God ain't trying to brown nose none of us. Because guess what? Whether we going to side with him or not, whether we going to ride with him or not, guess what? God is going to be God. God is not going to fall off of the throne, whether or not we give him praise or not, whether we fall down and worship. What I know about God, God is still going to be magnified. God has got it so he's still going to be lifted up. God has got it so he's still going to be exalted and glorified, whether it comes from us or not. Because if we refuse to cry out, he said, guess what? The rocks are there and cry out. But I bless his name. No rock is going to cry out for me. I bless his wonderful name that a rock doesn't have to give God praise. I thank God that I have a voice to lift it up and give him praise. Amen. So don't you throw away your confidence. Don't you throw away your boldness. And don't you throw away your assurance in God. Because guess what? He is a faithful God. Even when we are being tried, even when we are struggling, even when we don't have the answers, one thing I know, you can still call on Jesus. They say he's on the main line. Call him up and tell him what you want. And guess what? There's sometimes you can call him up and tell him what you need. But the Bible says he even knows what your need is before you ever ask. Sometimes it's just good to just call and just know that he's there on the other line. You know how you was when you first fell in love with somebody, and it didn't matter. Y'all didn't have to talk. You were still on the phone all night. Just because you were on the line with your significant one, the one that you were interested in, the one that you had feelings for, it didn't matter if they said a word. Just the fact that they were on the other end. And sometimes that's how it is with God. God, you ain't got to say nothing. Just to know that you're there. That brings an assurance to me, God, to know that you're there. And one thing we know about God, not only is he faithful, but he's omnipresent. He's always there. You probably can't track him. You probably can't trace him. And you might not fit him. But I want to encourage you to let you know that he is there. So don't you cast away your confidence. Don't you throw it away. So it says, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which have great recompense and reward. Your confidence, your free speech, meaning my free speech to let the world know that I trust God, to let the world know that I'm his son, to let the world know that I am his, I am a child of the Most High King, to let the world know that I live for Christ, and for Christ I will die. You understand? To let the world know that has my free speech, the boldness to declare those things, it has a reward. Me being bold to speak about Christ while everybody else It's trusting in other resources and trusting in every other thing. But I choose to stand and trust in the living God. It has a great reward. And so you too, if you're standing on the word of God, you too, if you're trusting and believing God, your trust in God, your confidence in God, your free speech speaking about how good God is, how great God is, how awesome God is, how wonderful God is, it has a great reward. It has a great reward. And I thank God that we're going to receive that reward. It's not just the reward of being able to abide with him in heaven, but there is reward now for us. Because remember, the title is, It Is Now Time. Amen. And see, only the courageous, in the midst of struggles and in the midst of trials and in the midst of temptations, and when you're tried as a believer in these economic pressing times, and when you're tried as a believer when this pandemic is roaring all through the land, it's only the courageous who will stand up and say, I don't know what's going to happen, but one thing I know God is faithful. I choose to trust God. I choose to believe God. I believe that God can make a way. If he is the creator of the heavens and earth, then what is a way? God can create a way. If he created that heavens and rolled them out, he put the sun in the sky, he threw the stars in the sky, and he created this earth that we abide in. Then what is a way? When I look at this universe, this expansive universe, what is a way? Oh, I choose to trust God. I choose to stand on his word, and for that there is a great reward, not just abiding it with him in heaven, but even here now. It is now time to receive the reward of God, the blessing of God. Amen. And so as we move on, it says, for ye have need of patience. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For ye have need of patience. Tell somebody, you need patience. Oh, yes, you need it. You need it. You need it. You keep trying to run from it. Now, I'm not inclined to tell you to pray for them, but I'm suggesting to you that you show enough need. It's a virtue. It's a virtue. You need it. You need it. You need it. You need it. And in the midst of what we're dealing with, can't gather like we want to gather. Oh, but I tell you, some of us, we needed the prophetic instructions that just recently came by way of our apostles for 7 days, for 5 minutes, for 7 days, give God praise. You see, some of us, you got stagnant in your praise because you can't go out, you can't experience outside like you normally would, just go as you will please, and you've been, you know, having to stay in the house, and some of us have been confined to working from home, and some of us have been turning to principals, and we've been turning to guidance counselors and turning to school teachers, all in a matter of months. And guess what? We're still trying to make sense of this thing. And you have children there all the time where you can't get your break when they went to school. Because guess what? They're there with you all the time. And now you're the principal. You're the guidance counselor. And you're the teacher. Not just that school teacher, but you're the PE teacher also. And see, a lot of things are pulling on you. But guess what? You need patience. Even in the midst of being pulled on in all these different areas, you need patience, because guess what? Life is still going on. Although you've been confined to the house, life still goes on. Guess what? You still got bills that have been stuffed in your mailbox, but guess what? You need patience. While the mailman is delivering the bills, you still need patience. Hearing about family members who might have contracted this pandemic, but guess what? You still need patience. So patience in the Greek is defined as, it is the characteristic of a man who is not swerved. Hear what I say. It is the characteristic of a man who is not swerved from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith and piety by even the greatest trials and suffering. I'm not moved. Regardless how great the trial or the suffering is, I am not moved. So we understand patience, not only is it a virtue, but it is a characteristic. And I want to know, is this a characteristic that's on display in your life, where you're not moved by the trials that have come? Sure, some of us might have experienced being laid off, but guess what? You were able to file for unemployment. God still made a way. Oh, yes, God still made a way. You ought to bless his name right there. And guess what? Some of us, we were able to call in, and guess what? We were able to get breaks from car insurance, house insurance, mortgage and rent, all these different things. God still made a way. That's a reason to give God praise. Oh, yes. And even in the midst of that, it shows that while you've been tried, finances are tried, faith is tried, your trust in God is tried, the enemy is trying to cripple you with fear, anxiety is coming because you're stressed out, overwhelmed because of all the pressures, these new pressures that you're dealing with from a day-to-day standpoint. But guess what? You need patience. It is a characteristic of a man who was not swerved from his deliberate purpose. There is a deliberate purpose that God has called you to, and you must exercise patience. We as believers must exercise patience. That I trust God, even when I can't track you, when I can't trace you, I trust God. When it doesn't look like what I want it to look like, God, when I'm not hearing what I desire to hear or what I believe I need to hear in this moment, God, I still choose to be patient and trust you, God. I understand that there was a deliberate purpose, even in the midst of being tried. I'm going through this, God, for the glory of God to be revealed, God. I'm experiencing this for the glory of God to be revealed, God. And I'm not saying everything that I go through or everything that I've experienced, it is coming directly from God. Some things are simply going to come. Some things I'm simply going to experience because I live in this natural world that has been affected by sin. But whatever comes, guess what? I have to exercise the patience of God. I understand that there is a deliberate purpose, and that is to give God the glory. In what I experience and what I'm being tried with, I still must give God the glory. Can you still give God praise when you don't feel like it? Can you still give God praise when it's not in your favor? Can you still give God praise? Guess what? When you've experienced loss, is he still worthy of the praise? I come to let you know, yes, he's worthy of the praise. And you must exercise that patience. Because life will try to hurry you. Loss will try to hurry you to quickly move away from God, to quickly to denounce your trust in God, to renounce your faith in God. But I'm telling you, don't you cast your confidence away, because it has a great reward. And it says, well, you have need of patience. There was a deliberate purpose. You are not swerve from your deliberate purpose. And not only that, but it talks about your loyalty to faith. Loyal to the faith. And I'm not just talking about faith in the essence of the gift of faith, the fruit of faith, but faith, this life of faith. Well, you're loyal to this life of faith. I trust you, God. That has to be the cry of us, the believers. That has to be the cry of us, the courageous. I trust you, God. I don't know what's about that, but I trust you, God. I can't see five steps in front of me, but I trust you, God. But ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. So in us exercising the patience, understanding that we have a deliberate purpose, and we're not swerve from it, but in turn, we have devotion and loyalty to this life of faith. After that, it is proven that we're doing the will of God. And what is the will of God? It is God's desire for us. The will of God is what God himself desires for us. And I know you may want to choose this, and I may want to choose that, but the will of God wants to choose, God desires to choose something else. Oh, yes. It says, after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. And what is the promise? In the Greek, the promise is talking about an announcement or a declaration about what someone would do. Something they would do. So whatever God said he would do, this is the announcement or the declaration God is letting you know that after you have done my will, now you can receive the promise. What I announce or what I declare to you, it is on its way to you. But you got to have patience, not being swerved, even when time itself is messing with some of us. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Because we talked about how time is an enemy of the saints. But see, right here, this is where this virtue, this is where this characteristic of patience, it must be evident in your life. When time is trying to trick you to stop believing God, or trick you that God is not going to do what he said, you have need of patience so that you can do the will of God, so that you are not swerved to come out of the center of his will. No, the safest place for you to be right now is in the center of God's will. In the center of God's will. Because it's after I do the will of God that I receive the promise, the announcement, the declaration of what God said he would do. I bless his name for the promise. I bless his name for the words that he's spoken, the prophetic words that he's released, what he said he's going to do, what he said he will bring to pass in our lives. And some of us, you've been waiting and you feel like I've been waiting. Will it ever happen? I come to encourage you. Yes, it is going to happen if you be patient. He's saying you need to be patient. Put down the worrying. Put down the anxiety. You must be patient. Don't you be swerved to move away from the deliberate purpose, giving God glory. The deliberate purpose is giving God the glory. Don't you be moved. Giving God the glory is accomplishing the will of God. And see, that's the thing. When we experience different trials and tribulations and testing, we have not always been prone to give God the glory in the midst of, because some of the trials and some of the testings and the sufferings have been so difficult for us that it was difficult to give God praise in what we were experiencing. But you have to understand, he must be greater than even the pain that we experience from the trials. Because what I found now, pain produces a power. But the other thing, that one of the other reasons that God allows us to experience pain in our life is pain produces forgiveness on the inside of us. When you think about all the pain that Christ endured throughout the cross, what did he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But it also produced a power. He was given all power in heaven and in earth after enduring all of this pain. I get it. Yeah, sometimes you go through some painful things and you struggle. When am I going to come out? God, when will this ever end? Are things ever going to get better? Will I ever experience change, God? And you question whether or not you live right enough to even be delivered or be brought through the storm that you've been experiencing. But I'm so glad that even as we were talking about the different honor, and you know, the honor fact and honor is the thing that makes the difference, how God let us understand, you know, as we talked about the high calling and the holy calling and all these different callers, how we understood that we can't mess it up because he called us. Even if you mess it up, he called you with a holy calling, a heavenly calling, and a high calling. So I bless God. So that's enough for you to exercise patience in the midst of the storm. Be patient. Guess what? If you can be patient, you can find yourself moving in the eye of the storm where peace is. Though everything seems to be chaotic and confusion seems to be all around. If you understand the kingdom perspective, God is not the author of confusion, but he's the God of peace. While confusion and chaos is yet around, get in the eye of the storm. Get in the peace. Get in the Prince of Peace and exercise that patience. Do the will of God so that you're able to receive the promise of God. He says in verse 37, for yet a little while, and he that will come, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Amen. And when you look at the scripture, when it begins to talk about for yet a little while, denoting time, for yet a little while, in a little bit of time. So you got to just give it a little bit of time. And it says, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. And this is what I want you to understand. Where we are right now, it seems to be that there is panic around the world, because guess what? It's not just the pandemic itself. But when you think about fear that has been loose in the world, and now you got some idiotic. You understand? I don't want to call people idiots, you understand? But there's some people who are acting in an idiotic manner. So there's this spirit of lunacy that has been also loose. That we just going to believe that there is nothing to the COVID-19. And I'm not glorifying the COVID-19 because I understand my God is well able. He is the God that healeth thee. What is a pestilence to him? Nothing. But even in the midst of all these different things that have been going on, people have been afraid. And like we say, it's not just the pandemic itself. But now you think about the spirit of lunacy, you think about the spirit of fear that has been loosed in the land. These are also pandemics in their own rights. You get enough people afraid. And think about the damage that could be done. The reckless behavior that will come about in the midst of people being afraid. But he said, forget a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry. So what I want you to understand, even while that many of the people are calling this uncharted waters, unprecedented times, as the courageous, as the believers of God, as the sons of God, what we understand, this little while or this season right here that we're experiencing, this is the Kairos moment. We see, we have to be like the sons of Issachar, knowing the time, being able to discern the time and knowing what to do. It's a Kairos moment. And you've heard us talk about Kairos in the last sermon series. But I want to remind you what Kairos is. It is a Greek term, right? And one of the definitions for Kairos, it talks about the appointed time and the purpose of God. So even in the midst of this pandemic, God has a purpose in the midst of all of this that is going on. Oh, yes. In the midst of all this, God has an appointed time for a purpose of his to reveal his glory. It's also defined as, Kairos is also defined as the time when God acts. When God, it is a time when God himself begins to act. And I don't know about you, but I desire for God to move. But see, for some of us, God has not moved because you're still in the way. I love how Praise and Worship sang that song. Move, I'ma move out your way, God. I'ma move out your way so that you can move. You gotta understand, if you want God to move, you need to check and see whether or not you're in his way. Unless you want to be bulldozed by God. Oh, yeah. So understand, the definition talks about the appointed time and the purpose of God. And another definition for Kairos, it talks about the time when God acts. Now, give an example of when we talk about a Kairos moment or Kairos time. When the Bible talks about this is the year of the Lord or this is the day of the Lord, it is a season that God himself has allowed to come about. And even though we cannot misinterpret when we see this is the year of the Lord, we cannot confuse this with chronological time, believing that this is a chronological year, that this is 12 months. No. When you hear the year of the Lord or the day of the Lord, it is a season that only God will command when it comes to an end. So the year of the Lord or the day of the Lord can last for years. So what am I saying? We are in a Kairos moment. Well, God has an appointed time for his purpose to be revealed, but he also has designated a time that he is about to act. And we just received the prophetic word about these 7 days of where you decree 10 declarations because God is about to move. And see, what I want to encourage you with, it is that time. It is a Kairos moment where God is about to move. God is about to act on your behalf. Oh, yes, he is about to move for you. Oh, I bless his wonderful name. I bless his wonderful name. I bless his wonderful name. I wish I could see some of y'all faces if you weren't afraid to put yourself on the camera and just slide across the bottom of my screen. I know you can't say nothing. I can't hear you, but if I can see your face, that you give God praise, because God is about to move. He has set an appointed time for his purpose, his glory to be revealed in your life and in my life and in the lives of the people of God, the courageous, the just. God has an appointed time, and God is about to act. God is about to move on our behalf. Guess what? It's just a little while. Oh, my God. And a little while is just that in the Greek. It's a little while. But I'm so glad this little while is in the hands of God. And this, because guess what? God don't need much time to do what he has to do. We have experienced God coming in the last minute. We have experienced God coming in the last quarter of a year. And all God needs, he just needs an opportune moment. Yes, that's all he needs. Just give me an opportune moment, because guess what? I'm not present. Guess what? I was there in the beginning, and I'm here in the end. I just need an opportune moment. I just need an opportunity. And this is a kairos moment for God to come and act on our behalf for the purpose of God, this appointed time for the purpose of God to be manifested. So yet a little while, and he that shall come. Listen at it. The scripture says he that shall come. But then the writer turns and says, he that shall come will come. So you don't have to question whether he's going to come or not. He's coming. Yes, but then the writer ends by saying, and will not tarry. When the appointed time hits in your life, guess what? He's going to come, and he's not going to delay. He's going to come fast, quick, and in a hurry. I don't know, some of you felt like you've already been there. God, I need you to come, and I need you to come now. God, I need you to come, and I need you to come quickly. God, I need you to come right now, God, because if you don't come, God, you know how we say, we give those speeches, God, because I can't take another thing, God. Yes, you can. You just invited another thing in your life, because he wants to show you that you are not a lie. You have been delivered from that lie. So guess what? You got to experience another thing, because you opened up your mouth saying you can't take another thing. He wanted to prove to you that you were delivered from a lie. Spirit. Oh, I bless this wonderful name. Oh, so I'm mindful about what I say out of my mouth, because we understand as we move into this new year, we told you that this was a year about the word of God. Matter of fact, this is going to be a decade about the mouth, and it's going to be a decade about the words that God speaks, but not just the words that God speaks, but about the words that we speak. So it's not coincidental that we're telling you about your declaration. It's not coincidental that we're telling you to get your prayer. It is about divine purpose. What you're speaking has to be tried. But yet a little while, and he that shall come, will not tarry. He's not going to delay. When the appointed time comes, guess what? God is going to rush to you. And I'm so grateful that God will rush to us. Because guess what? You, and I'm sure you've experienced it. What you constitute to be an emergency in your life, when you're dealing with people, everybody doesn't constitute what you deem to be an emergency in your life. They don't see it as an emergency. So people will take their time when you told them, like, I need you right now. I need you to hurry up. And people will take their time with the slow walk, with the slow bebop, with the slow pitter-pat, with the slow Tom and Jerry. Oh, and it irks my nerves sometimes. If I'm telling you I need this, and you can hear the urgency in the tone of my voice, come on, you got to be sensitive enough to know that I need this, and I need this quickly. But I'm so glad that God, he understands my moans. He's able to interpret my moans and my groans. And even when I can't tell him, God, I need you right now, he knows it before I can ever ask it. He understands it. He interpreted that moan. He understood what those tears meant. Yes, he did. He understood what that hand wave meant. He understood what that leaping in place meant. I'm so glad. But when he comes, he's going to come, and he's not going to tarry. I bless his wonderful name. Oh, I give you praise, God. I give you praise, God. I give you praise. As we're moving down to verse 30, it says, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. And as we're coming to this particular point, this is where we're talking about the courageous, the just. We are the just of God. It's because we live by faith. And you understand, we are the courageous, choosing to live by faith, and not in the means of fear, and not by worry, and not through anxiety, and not with excuses, but we're going to stand on the word of God, and we're going to trust God, and we're going to take him at his word, and we're going to see the glory of God magnified in our life, and we're going to see the word of God fulfilled in our life, because now we are the just. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. And I want you to understand, simply put, this word now is defined as without delay. So you can't have delay with you being the just and how you live by faith. You can't hesitate. You can't be afraid to be the just. This is who the courageous, this is where the courageous separate themselves from the cowards. And this is where I was saying at the beginning of the scripture, you got to find out where you stand. You got to identify, put a line in the sand to let everybody know, let heaven and earth know, I am a part of the just, God. I choose to live by faith, God. Now I choose to live by faith. So now is defined as without delay. But one of the other definitions that I found for the word now, and of course now, the word now is also dealing with time in and of itself, time. But one of the other definitions that was fascinating to me about this word now, it is defined, it says keenly aware of and responsive to the latest developments of time. Now the just shall live by faith. I can live by faith because guess what? I have been keenly aware of and responsive to the latest developments of the times. Where everybody else may respond with fear and anxiety, I gotta praise. Where many people are drawing back from God, I'm trying to draw closer. Yeah, you gotta say, God, I want to draw nigh to you, God. I want to be closer than I ever been closer. I want to put my head in your bosom, God. I want to pick up on your heartbeat, God. I want to know the pulse of what's going on, God. I want you to whisper in my ears, God, those things that trouble you down here in the earth from God. But many are drawing back, God. I'm trying to get closer, God. But many got to choose to live in fear, God. I choose to live by faith because I am keenly aware and I am responsive to the latest development. Now, not so much that I'm just keeping my eyes on all the natural things, because even though the natural things are taking place, what I also understand is God is still moving. What I also understand is God is still seated on the throne. And what I also understand, he is clothed in majesty. And I also understand he still reigns. He's still in control. Even when it doesn't look like it, it doesn't feel like it, it doesn't seem like it. But I want to encourage you that God is in control. And now we can live by faith. We are the just. We are the courageous. Are you courageous enough to just live by faith, by what he said? Just one word. You've heard us say just one word will change your whole life. One word will change your whole perspective, how you interpret and how you view and see things. Just one word from God can change you from the inside out. So he said, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. So I'm trying to drive it home. Don't you draw back. You can't draw back. Why? And I'm going to give you some acronyms, right? Because now is dealing with time, and hence the title, it is now time. Now you got to understand how to navigate your world. Oh, yes, yes, yes. You got to understand how to navigate your world, how to move in the midst of this pandemic that is going on, in the midst of people being fearful, in the midst of people drawing back from God. You got to understand how to navigate your world and still be a bold witness and declare that he is the Lord, and still be a bold son of God, that I trust God even in spite of what I'm dealing with. This is understanding how to navigate your world, understand the times that you're dealing with, and knowing what to do. This is not knowing how to navigate your world. But not only that, putting your notice of withdrawal in, I'm withdrawing myself from the place of fear, from the life of fear, from the life of anxiety, from the life of worry. I shall not worry. I am not going to be fearful. I'm not going to fret. Neither will I fret because of the evildoer. But I will put my trust in the name of the Most High God. While some are trusting in horses and chariots, I choose to trust in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to see Jesus Christ high and lifted up in my life. I want to give God the praise that he will begin to draw those that are in my spirit unto himself because of my lifestyle, because of my praise, because of my honor unto him, because I decide to give God. This is my notice of withdrawal to the spirit of fear. This is my notice of withdrawal to the spirit of lunacy. I will not go crazy in the midst of this pandemic. I won't feel like I'm about to lose my mind because I can't go outside the way I want to go outside. But guess what? I'm going to get closer to God, and I'm going to get closer to my family. We're going to have a stronger unit. We're going to have a stronger bond. We're going to have a better better understanding, better communication. Guess what? Some days you just need to put all the technology down and just talk to one another, look in the eyes of one another, and make that connection with one another all over again. I'm putting my notice of withdrawal. But at the same time, I want you to know that these are new opportunities waiting for you, the believer. Again, hinting at some of the prophetic instructions that came our way. You need to speak those 10 declarations for 7 days. You need to give God praise for 5 minutes for 7 days and watch God, because God is about to move. God is about to move. He's about to give us new opportunities that have been waiting for this appointed time. In this Kairos moment, there are new opportunities that are waiting, but it's only going to be for the just that shall live by faith. Only for the just that shall live by faith. And he says in the scripture, he said, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. And this is why you can't draw back, because draw back in the Greek is talking about to shrink or to cower away from what they believe. He said, my soul shall have no pleasure in that individual that wants to shrink in the moment. When God gives you a moment to stand and declare that he is God, to stand and to show that you trust God, even when you can't track him or trace him, to trust God, even when you are unsure of what's going on, when God gives you that moment, you cannot shrink away, you cannot shy away from the moment for God to be glorified, for God to be lifted up because of you. So it says, the drawback in the Greek is talking about to shrink or to cower away from what you believe. The just signifies the courageous. But for those that draw back, I guess you understand that now we'll put a line in the sand declaring who the courageous are. The courageous are the just, but those that draw back, those are the cowards. And I just choose to let the world know that, God, I am part of the just, God. I am part of the courageous, God. When that moment shall arise in my life, God, give me the strength, God, not to fall out. Give me the strength, God, not to be weary and well-doing, God. Give me the strength, God, to stand, God, when I feel like giving up, when I want to throw in the towel, God. Give me the strength, God, to trust you, God, when my mind can't make sense of what's going on around me, God. When my eyes can't see the end, when my eyes cannot see the light at the end of it, give me the strength, God, to stand, God, to still praise you in the midst of what is going on, God, to still have a heart of worship, God, a heart of submission, God, a heart of discipline, God, to trust you, God, and to trust your word, God. Because I understand your soul shall have no pleasure in him. For the one that draws back, your soul will have no pleasure in him. So I thank God that in this moment, God, the courageous, the just, God, you're going to show us how to navigate our world, God. For us, the just, the courageous, God, we have given our notice of withdrawal, God. For us, the just, the courageous, God, you have new opportunities waiting for us. I bless his wonderful name. It says, but we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. We are not of them who draw back. And now when you think about it, here is this word, or these words, draw back again in verse number 39, which has an altogether different meaning from the draw back in verse number 38. And when you talk about this drawing back, this drawing back is talking about a fearful and stealthily retreating. So retreating in a stealthy manner or stealthily manner. Out of fear. What is the writer really saying? Because guess what? There were some people who ease out of the presence of God, who sneak out of the will of God by way of excuses, fear of having to yield themselves, fear of having to change, fear of having to submit, fear of having to be who God called them to be, fear of having to do what God called them to do. So they were stealthily and fearfully retreat, ease out of the will of God. You know, we've heard things like, that's just too much, I can't do that, that's just too much, God is expecting too much of me, or I'm so afraid, or I don't know how to change. Him asking me to forgive them, I can't forgive them, I don't know how to, an excuse. You are fearfully in a stealthily manner, retreating from the will of God. Sneaky with your retreat. Because you'll talk to folk knowing you have a real issue with them. The issue is that you have not forgiven them. But you've mastered, we have mastered having conversations with people that we really don't do. You do it on the job all the time. You can't stand your boss, but you only deal with your boss because they got to write your paycheck. Oh, you have drawn back, but I'm trying to get you to draw closer to God and not to draw back from God. Because if you draw back from God, you are considered to be a coward. Now, we had this saying down in the FLA down in Florida. If you're scared, go to church. I know you can't get to the buildings where you normally would go, but thankfully, like David said, I was glad of them. He said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Thankfully, all you got to do is get up out of your bed. For some of y'all, you might be sitting up in your bed. Church is at your living room table now. Church is at your kitchen table. It's in the midst of your living room. It's in your lounge room. It's in your den. It's in your bedroom. Church is where you want it to be now. But you ought to be glad that somebody invited you to come to church, invited you to come to the presence of God, that you can experience God, so that you are not tempted to draw back from God. Because if you draw back, you are considered a coward. So the writer says, but we are not of them who draw back unto perdition. Perdition in the Greek is talking about we are not of them who draw back to destruction. Now granted, going through some of the things that we, when you think about some of the dysfunction that some of us have come from and we presently live with, when you think about the destruction that it has brought into the relationships that we have, just think about that for a moment. But God, In his grace and his mercy and his infinite goodness, he saw fit to deliver us from the dysfunction. Well, our lives have changed. We've learned how to communicate better. We have better understanding of the people that we're dealing with. We're even more patient with those that we're dealing with. And not just being tolerable, but we really accept and embrace people for who they are. Are you trying to return back to some of that destruction that God has delivered you from? Poverty, that's destruction. Whoredom, that's destruction. Fornication, that is destruction. Lying and manipulation, that is destruction. He's brought you out. Don't you draw back because of your fear. It proves that you are a coward. So the writer is making a declaration, but we are not of them who fall back unto destruction. But we are of them that believe. It is now time that you believe. You have got to believe now. In the midst of trouble, you have got to believe now. In the midst of experiencing loss, you have got to believe now. In the midst of your body being racked with pain or sickness, you have got to believe now. In the midst of you not having the finances that you were accustomed to, you have got to believe God now. In the midst of you not being able to leave at your own pleasure, you have still got to believe God now. Because it proves that you are of the just, the courageous. I know every relationship may not be the way you want it to be. And it seems to be that this pandemic has put a greater strain on some of our relationships. But you must believe God now that God, what he said about the relationship. We're going to love better. We're going to communicate better. We're going to understand one another better. We're going to be forgiving towards one another. We're going to walk in peace with one another. We're going to encourage one another, uplift one another, support one another, uphold one another. But we are of them that believe to the saving of a soul. You understand? Your soul. If your soul is going to be saved, it is according to your ability to believe. It is according to your ability to believe. If you call on the name of the Lord and believe, your soul is going to be saved. Your mind, the components of the soul, your mind, your heart, your emotions, your will, your character, it will be saved according to your ability to believe. I don't care how the world is responding. You are the just. Your response should be very different from that of the world. It is now time that your response is different. It is now time that your reaction is different. It is now time, instead of you complaining, you should pray. It is now time, instead of you worrying, you should worship. It's now time, instead of you walking in fear, you should be walking by faith and not by sight. This is an indicating sign that you are the just, an indicating sign that you are the courageous. But more importantly, it causes your soul to be saved. It causes your soul to be saved. And I just want to encourage you, though we may be experiencing unprecedented times, and though we may be in uncharted waters, one thing about it, these times might have changed. God has not changed. He's a God that changes not. He is a God that is faithful. And you can rest assured that God is going to be faithful to you, the just. He's going to be faithful to the sons of God. So I want you to be encouraged. Encourage somebody right the way you are. Just remind them, God is faithful. He understands, he knows, he is aware of what it is that you're dealing with. He is faithful. He is faithful. Amen.